Everybody's trying to do good. Yeah.
Sergey says you sound like a princess, man. That means you sound beautiful.
Oh man,
you're his princess, man.
Sergey, I'll definitely accept that. You're beautiful. Yeah.
I'll see what today about to be. Okay. All right. All right, man. Let's have a good time today, guys. If you're new around here, it's your first time here, man. If you guys sub, donate, anything like that might cause, you know, follow, anything that might cause any sort of notifications, all the alerts are muted on purpose, but we appreciate you guys. Please interact, talk, laugh, cry. We're gonna have a good time.
It's always a good time around here. What are we really saying here?
Always and forever.
It's a great time. I cut my nails. Don't have dirty nails, chat. It's not very
No,
cool.
You're breathtaking. All right. I'm getting started. Damn it.
whoa. It's a hey, man. It's a compliment train day today.
Yeah, I see. It's a compliment type of podcast today.
But it's good to see you, man. It's good to, you know, have you back in the fold. I know you've been busy with school and all that good stuff. Hope that it's going well. Hope the classes are going well. Hope you're kicking ass over there.
Yes, indeedy. All right. Hello. Welcome to episode 169 of the Super Weapon Podcast, the most overpowered podcast on the internet. It's your boy, Dearest the Artist. And as always, I got my co-host DC here with me today.
Yes, we coming in hot, baby. First of all, I'm about to give a few shout outs. I'm about to stir up the pot a little bit. I know we usually do this at the end, but shout out to all the veterans out there. All my veterans, yes, stand indeed. Up. Make sure you get that free Golden Corral, baby. Go in there and eat up everything. You know what I'm saying? Go, hey, if you see a veteran in the streets, salute them, baby. Another shout out. We want to just lift our brother Dark Star always up in prayers, baby. We want to lift our homie Built up in prayers as well. Lift the homies up in prayers. Y'all don't need to know what they're going through. Mind your business. Just lift them up in prayers. So let's get this show started.
Important thing is, you know, it is Men's Mental Health Month as well. So, you know, yes, once sir. Again, please reach out to people if you are feeling any sort of depression, mental anxiety, you know, just please reach out to the people that you care and trust. And, you know, it's okay to be sad sometimes, guys. That's all I'll say, and I'll leave it at that. But we are here to talk about some good news, some fun news. This past week has been, you know, early November, man. We're kind of settling in to the big fall releases. You know, we had Spider-Man a couple of weeks ago. This past week, we had Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 drop. To much fanfare, good and bad, I guess you could say, as is with every Call of Duty. But for me personally, with Call of Duty, you know, I'm pretty excited about the, you know, the esports, the competitive aspect of Call of Duty that's going to be happening. So been watching a lot of pro players playing tournaments and stuff. That's really kind of more my speed nowadays, not the pubbing. And, you know, I know you're not going to buy a DC, but I'm eventually going to pick it up at some point. Apex is too much fun, man. How are you feeling about Call of Duty, the big release?
Well, you know, I'm going to keep a little lighthearted today. I think I've vented enough of my frustrations on Twitter. That's why you guys need to follow me. I'm kind of a train wreck over there. I go flying off the rails quite often. But to be honest with you, I know we talked about this, but we got to bring it back to our online audience here. Where I stand with Call of Duty is I feel like I'm at a point to where I'm going to have to stop supporting it until it gets better. People constantly complaining about the game, but you guys keep buying it. You have to speak with your wallets. It's the same formula, you know, and I just want all my people playing games to have a fun time. I hope it's good for y'all, but I'm starting to see people complain already. What, it's only been out, what, since Friday?
Yeah, it came out November 10th. There, I mean, some people got to play it early. Yeah. I think the biggest thing that I've seen, biggest talking points with Call of Duty this year and last year too, or it seems like the last couple of games, there's been, you know, they've really kind of gamified the unlocking of attachments and weapons. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not as straightforward as it used to be. You know, for you kids who didn't grow up playing Call of Duty like we did, back in the day, you used to have to just level up to unlock guns. It was very straightforward. it was a grind, but it wasn't tedious. And I think that's what is starting to kind of lean towards for a lot of people. And that's the one thing that really kind of gave me a big pause too.
You know what they did? I'm going to tell you what they did. They got tired of people grinding shipment and getting all the attachments in a day. That's why, that's why they're doing it now.
My thing is this, right? Here's my thing. Like, I look at Call of Duty, you have to look at it at the sum of its parts nowadays, right? And this is kind of like what we're going to talk about later on with Sony and the live service thing. But I just kind of want to touch on this with Call of Duty. You know, back in the day, you know, there wasn't like the constant need to monetize everything in games. And, you know, you were good with just the arena style shooter, you know, just like Halo. You know, you had your 6v6, 4v4, rank mode. But, you know, they've intended, you know, with the adding of something like Warzone in, you know, I feel like they've really just kind of had to change their strategy where they're trying to link everything together. And I think it's frustrating a lot of people. You know, I'm fine with having to do daily challenges for unlocks because it didn't seem like they were asking you anything difficult from what I've seen people posting anyway. But I think just the convoluted way that they've kind of, it kind of feels like a mobile game to me. You know what I mean? Just looking at the system.
That's what everybody was saying. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I think that by them doing that, they're going to alienate a lot of people, man.
Yeah.
Because the audience for Call of Duty, right, they're mostly, you have a wide age range, and everyone don't have that kind of time to kind of put in the game. As you become older, I think the older adult Call of Duty players are kind of trying to be like in and out with it. Like no one has time to sit up there and do dailies. Like that's one of my things. And it's not just with Call of Duty. That's one of my things with a lot of games now that have like dailies and weeklies. And I oftentimes miss a lot of that stuff. And that's just due to being a adult with a job and responsibilities. Right.
Right.
So I can't sit up here like I might work both of my jobs and then I'm thinking about coming home and doing, oh, I got to do my daily before I go to bed. Like, I'm not thinking like that. Like, I'm thinking the game can kick rocks. I'm going to sleep when I get home. I'm tired.
I've had a long day at work. I'm not going to go to my second job playing a game. Yeah.
Right. So it's like, you know, I hope Call of Duty makes some adjustments as far as that goes because I don't want to see them kind of go down that route because then you're going to have like a lot of people like it's that fear of missing out. Like,
yeah, that FOMO. You know what I'm saying?
Everybody's going to be hustling. And I think that's kind of what turned me off to Destiny. You know, it was like the constant rat race of trying to keep up, have the newest meta weapon.
You know, you know what I think the inherent problem, not to cut you off, but you know what I think the inherent problem of most AAA budgets, most AAA structure when it comes to, I hesitate to use the word live service, but they, you know, most games have some sort of live service element, but I feel like the major problem is it's a scaling issue, right? Like you can only have so much of a variety of a particular type of an activity, mission. At least this is what I kind of felt with Destiny because, you know, when they introduced the seasonal model and we were playing that, We knew we were going to have to do strikes. We knew we were going to have to do a nightfall. We knew we were going to have to do the new activity, which probably had you standing on a platform or, you know, throwing a ball of energy into something. Like it got tedious at the point. And I think that's what you're speaking at too. You know, when you look at a lot of these projects, you know, I don't even think it's just our generation in like our gaming generation. I think it's just gaming as a whole because you're starting to see a lot of these live service games fall off the wayside pretty quickly. You know,
speaking of that, you see what Sony did, right?
Yeah, and that's
speaking of that, Sony's scaling back on their live service games.
Yeah, we can talk about. I mean, we're kind of already talking about it anyway. Yeah, so, you know, in lieu of the Bungie layoffs in the last week, the very public Bungie layoffs, you know, Sony, they came out, I think it was an investor call last week, they were talking about this, that they're scaling back the number of projects that they wanted to have, like live service projects they wanted to have done by, I think it was 2026, like fiscal year 2026. So over the next like five-ish years or something like that. And I think that kind of speaks to what we're talking about here. You know, you have a lot of restructuring at the company.
You know, a lot of layoffs have happened. I mean, there was another, you know, Digital Extremes, another studio, another live service game, Wayfinder. They lost their funding this week after the publishing arm got closed. And I think you're starting to see a lot of companies realize that that's not really the best way to make money. I mean, Destiny, I think, is it's an anomaly out of the entire thing. You know, they were the ones that got it right early on, and they kind of took hold of that. And I think everyone else has just been trying to play catch up with them. I mean, you look at Avengers, you know, that game makes me really sad because I really liked if no one's ever played the story, just the story of Avengers, the Crystal Dynamics Avengers game, that enough, it's worth the price. Like, if it's on sale for a couple bucks, I think it's worth playing that. But
yeah, it may be on sale for like $5 or something. Yeah,
it's usually on sale, but that whole thing just kind of fell apart really quickly. You know, I think the biggest thing, you know, with that one, you can only play as one, each person can only play as one hero. So you can have two Hulks, you can have, you know, three Captain America. So you're limiting the matchmaking at that point because you have so many heroes in the game. You're not going to find people as quickly. So, you know, I think a lot of these games like that just shoot themselves in the foot. Anthem, you know, I could talk all day about that. That game makes me sad. And
man, it was so, I mean, when you pull back the curtain, right, and you really start looking at this stuff, because we say it all the time, like, people are very surface level when it comes to games, and that's mm-hmm. okay. You know, you buy it and you play it, you enjoy it, but that's part of the reason why this podcast is here to try to pull back that curtain and show you what goes on behind
why things happen and why trends.
Yeah. And it's very interesting. It's very interesting and sad because right now it's just the beginning. It's going to be so many like layoffs and stuff. And I think a lot of that comes with them trying to figure out what's the best way to monetize our games. Because the problem is, as we advance in technology, it's taking more and more assets, resources, and stuff to yep. make these games. So game companies, I try to give them a little bit of grace because of that, because I'm not against monetization. I'm against, how should I say, predatory.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good
monetization.
One,
yeah. Like, I understand as a consumer, I get it. Like, okay, you guys, especially with these new games, you got to recoup that money, right? You got to at least make back what you put in, to say the least, right? You got to kind of make that back. So what I want you guys to get, if you're listening to this, right, we have to kind of have a little bit of grace when it comes to that, because that's why we're having so many layoffs and stuff. Like, it all change together, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. it's like, damn, like, how can we monetize this game but not piss the consumer off?
And how do you keep player retention? You know, that's tough too, because I mean, you look at this year just in general, in terms of just releases alone, you know, this is one of the best years we've had in the last 10 years, I think, in gaming. I think
full gaming style. Has been.
Whew. So you think about that in the way that that's taking attention away from live service games, because someone's going to stop to play Spider-Man. I'm going to stop playing Destiny to play Spider-Man. I'm going to stop playing Destiny to play Resident Evil, et cetera. You know, and that takes away from that as well. And then eventually you come up from air, you know, you come up with, you know, get some air from that live service bubble you had been in. And you're like, man, I don't really want to go back to that. I've been having fun playing other stuff. And I think just from that investment standpoint, you know, Sony is realizing that, you know, maybe that's not the best way to go. And I think they're smart to do this because, I mean, even if they do, let's say they release all six of these, whatever they are. You know, there was an alleged Horizon multiplayer game and the Naughty Dog project. Those are the only two that I'm really familiar with. But, you know, the chances that all six are a booming success when they come out is, it's going to be, that's almost impossible, right? Especially if they're trying to release that many in that few years, they're going to start cannibalizing each other. And then you're going to see more studio closures. And it's just unfortunate, but I'm glad to see that, at least I'm hoping that studios are going to start pivoting away from, you know, these live service ideas and just make a fucking MMO at that point. Let me just say,
just make
an MMO. If you're going to invest this much capital, this much time, this, just like you said, resources, people, Just make an MMO. And you know that the chances of that succeeding aren't much better. But I mean, at least you'll have a part of the industry that, I mean, MMOs have been around, God, man, almost as long as the industry has. So I don't know.
I think the thing is with MMOs is it just sounds so much sweeter, right?
Yeah.
Because as soon as people hear live service, they cringe.
Yeah.
Like, as soon as they hear it, they're like,
it's a bad word in the industry now. Yeah, it is.
Right. Like, oh, God, this game. As soon as you hear live service, you're like, oh, my God, this game's going to be ass. But if you disguise it as MMO, you may be able to, you know, you might be able to slide it through the cracks. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, but you even look at, like, Suicide Squad, when that whole thing reviewed and the information that came out about it, that game's gonna fall on its ass when it comes out. And WB is doing the same thing that Sony is. It's like, hey, we want to make more MMO. We want to make more live service type games that, you know, our players can invest in. They said that this past week. And you look at like a studio like Rocksteady, who made the Arkham trilogy, you know, they really make great single player games, and you're shifting them into live service. That's not gonna work, man. I don't have any hope for the game, to be completely honest.
Yeah, and it comes down to, I think, like, in their situation, I can be completely wrong, right? But I feel like this is them testing the waters to see if we can get paid off of this.
I hate that.
You know what I'm saying?
I hate it.
Yeah, but
make your cash cow studio, you know, your number one studio, make that kind of pivot? Like, I would have a smaller studio do it. I don't know. That's...
No, I mean, you could be right in what you're
corporate
saying.
Guy, I don't know anything. There's people much smarter than me, but it just doesn't make sense to me.
No, your opinion is completely valid. See, we're just tossing out ideas of what we think. Like, you know, right. We're not, like you said, our disclaimer, we're not, you know, CEOs, whoever runs the show. I feel like I just said earlier, people are kind of just trying stuff to kind of see, like, right, how can we get this money back? Like, how can we maintain
how can we recoup our workforce? This quarter of $1 million dollars that we just spent on marketing, development. You know, we have to get this back, you know, in a certain amount of time so we can fund the next project. And that's, I don't know, it's an inherent problem in the industry. But at the same time, like, you know, I don't feel bad for companies like Sony because, you know, along with this announcement, they just announced record profits for this quarter. You know what I mean? Like, they're selling more PlayStation 5s. Like, they're selling games. They're you know, all their stuff is selling. But at the same time, you're scaling back. People are being fired. Like, I just ultimately, man.
Hey, long as I don't hear about a CEO getting a bonus and buying a yacht over there at Sony. That's all I'm saying.
That would be unfortunate.
You let all these people go. You're doing numbers. Spider-Man just... I think Spider-Man is the reason, it's obviously going to be a reason why the increase in PlayStation sales.
Oh,
I know 100%. People specifically who literally waited for Spider-Man to come out before they bought their PlayStation. So I'm not surprised that we're seeing an uptick in sales for PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful machine. hey, Xbox, calm down. She gets jealous when I talk about her, but... yeah, it's very interesting, man, to see where the industry is going to land in about, I would say, about 5 years.
Yeah, the next 5 to 10 years is going to be really interesting, I think. I'm right there with you. I think you're going to see more like Netflix-like services pop up. I mean, you know what's funny is I was talking to someone in my chat when I was streaming the other day. I think I was talking to Winnie. Shout out to Winnie, by the way. He was talking about the PlayStation Plus live service, like the Game Pass equivalent that Sony has, whatever it's called.
Mm-hmm.
And how much better it's gotten over the last year. And you know, he talks about like the caliber of games that's been on there. You know, they're low key, you know, filling out their services portfolio. And I think a lot of studios and companies are just gonna look to do that. They're gonna try to move away more so from hardware and think about like services, game, you know, player retention, all that stuff. And it's just gonna be really interesting to see. I mean, the unfortunate part of the industry is that people are still losing their jobs, studios are still closing. You know, but, you know, from the ashes, another phoenix will rise. You know, there will be more new studios that come open. That it happens every generation. Like, if you look at, you know, these studios close, and it's like a group of guys from that studio, like, hey, let's start our own thing. We can do our own shit. And then they'll get funding, and, you know, the cycle continues. But we'll see, man. It's definitely going to be interesting, man. And shout out to Star Game Chat as well, man. Thank you for bringing up the Game Awards, because – We're going to be talking about the Game Awards in our next topic here. And this is one that I'm really, really excited to get into because, you know, DC is our resident Grand Theft Auto online aficionado. And we finally, finally heard from Rockstar about Grand Theft Auto 6.
Oh, my God.
And man, did the
internet exploded,
melted down. Like, it was pretty insane. And I actually have the tweet pulled up here, and I wanted to read it. I'm never gonna call this website Zeek, by the way, guys, or X. Or
it's Twitter for life.
Twitter forever. So
Twitter for life, bro. I'm not calling this X. It sounds nasty. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. No thanks. So from Sam Houser, signed by Sam Houser. For those of you guys who don't know, he is one of the co-founders of Rockstar and has worked on pretty much every property that they've written it, you know, done stuff for it. But they had a series of tweets, and this very last one is the one that the internet lost the shit over. So they said, we are very excited to let you know that in early December, remember that part, early December, we will release the first trailer for the next Grand Theft Auto. We look forward to many more years of sharing these experiences with all of you. Thank you, Sam Houser. This tweet has 1.5 million likes, over 500,000 retweets, and over 50,000 bookmarks and 54K comments.
I don't understand the bookmarking thing. That always makes me laugh.
People probably went back to remember, or somebody wanted to make a video.
Back and comment on it. Yeah.
So before we dive into this, right, predictions and all that, I have a question I wanted to ask you because I was thinking about it before we started today. Do you think that Grand Theft Auto at this point in time is the number one gamer franchise in the world? In terms of impact? In terms of really just shaking the industry type beat like this, because I can't tell you another studio that put out a tweet that's gotten this much attraction, this much heat.
Let me think. Give me 2 seconds.
Yeah, absolutely. Here. Think it through, because it's an interesting question.
If there's anything else? Now that I think about it, especially. I mean, with like the level, just the things that spawned from Grand Theft Auto, the series in general, let's be honest, they kind of, I want to jump out here and say they were the forefathers of open world. Would that be far-fetched to say?
No, they are definitely, I agree with that. I definitely think they are one of the...
They might not have been the first, but
ones that really push the boundaries when it comes to releasing single player experiences, open world games. That's what I think.
So you have that in the history books, right? So, I mean, that's a big thing because games really, like open world games, have really, really been a staple in the gaming industry. So you have that. You have them pushing the boundaries as to what you see in a video game as far as, I mean, let's be real, you know, you're driving around, you're shooting, it's all the intrusive thoughts just flying out of your head, you know, you're kind of doing crazy stuff. Kids, don't be picking up hookers, but, I mean, you're picking up hookers, you're doing all kinds of crazy stuff, right?
Living a crazy fantasy out, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it was a trendsetter. It pushed the boundaries in that area. I mean... I could sit down here and break down all the stuff from GTA role play to what is deemed the classic. San Andreas is deemed like,
true.
One of the biggest games ever. GTA 5 sold the most, I believe. They broke records when that came out.
It is, yeah. So, I think they hit 192 million lifetime sales for 5.
Yeah, that's insane.
I can't even.
And then shall we get on the decade in which GTA 5 still online still earns them money to this day? Yeah, so I'm going to go ahead and definitely say yes to that. Like if you put all those stats up, you know, and hey, if you're listening, hey, please comment. Leave a comment.
Let us know what you guys think. Shout out to Sergey in chat. He's contesting Elder Scrolls might be. And I'll say this much. And I just did a quick Google, right? Just in terms of sales alone. This is from Statista.com. So, you know, do with that what you will. Elder Scrolls as of June of this year, Elder Scrolls 5 in particular, because I think it's fair to say that's their most successful, one of their most successful games, if not their most successful one. It sold 60 million units, which is, that's a very large number. That is pretty insane when you think about, once again, how many sales or units of a particular game sells, you know, and it's, the game's been out, what, 12 years at this point, 13 years? It's been out for a while, but GTA 5, 185 million lifetime sales.
You're right. Exactly.
Over double, you know, and I just think it's just wild to watch what happens when they say anything, because they very rarely do, you know, only when they're ready, really ready to show something. Rockstar will come out of the shadows, come down from the mountain to, you know,
and question, when did Elden, you said Elder, what is it? Elder Scrolls 5?
Uh-huh. When did it come out? Let's see. Elder Scrolls 5 release date. 2011, so 2 years before GTA.
So GTA, but as far as like, because the reason why I asked that, because let me see, GTA Liberty City release date. There's something I want to see here. You said, when did Elder Scrolls come out?
Elder Scrolls 5 came out in 2011. November 11th, as a matter of fact. Actually,
the first?
Yesterday was the 13th anniversary.
Oh, wow.
It came out November
11th. So basically, I'm just saying how when I said GTA set the whole open world experience up, mm-hmm. when GTA first did their first open world game, which was Grand Theft Auto Liberty City, that came out 2005? October 2005?
Oh, wow.
I felt like it was... that's weird. No. Hold on.
You said Grand Theft Auto 3, right?
Yeah. I feel like I was still in school or something when that came out.
No, it came out 2001. October 22nd.
Okay, so that's even... Yeah. That's not about right.
Yeah. Yeah, 2001.
So, that's what I'm saying. The only reason I brought that up, because like I said, I feel like they was a kind of a trendsetter with the whole open world experience.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And then, because like, even with Elder Scrolls, the series, like, you know, with their open world, I think like everyone started to kind of like really, really put their foot into this open world arena once Grand Theft Auto had came out, Grand Theft Auto 3. Like,
yeah, absolutely. Because you see trends from studios. They borrow from each other all the time. I mean, every creative does it. There's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, I've been saying it for a long time, man, and this is what kind of bounced me off of Starfield, is that I felt like it was the same kind of formulaic, you know, I know what to expect, right? But when I played Red Dead Redemption 2 in 2018, that game truly left me, you know, not knowing what to expect every time I play the game. There could be a random bear that tries to maul me out of some bushes. I could find some guy on the road who needs help with something, trying to rob me, you know, all before I even get to do a side quest. And I feel like you don't have that kind of lived in feel with their world with Bethesda games. That's just my opinion, you know,
but my humble opinion. Even with Elder Scrolls, because a year after GTA 3 came out, that's when Elder Scrolls 3 came out. Morrowind.
True.
So I just feel like that just kind of goes to my theory of like GTA kind of set that open world arena up.
I agree.
For other games to kind of
continue
step
to
it up. To, you know,
yeah, they to continue to like, refine in their own way, put their own little spin.
Yeah,
on it.
And it was a good thing too, because I mean, you had like, of course you're gonna have the bad games, but a lot of open world games was really coming out and they were like really, really well done. Like they were good.
Right.
So you know, I say all that to say this, that like GTA, yeah, it may go down in history. Rockstar may go down in history as that studio, like
premier,
especially
one of one.
They can really, really knock it out of the park with GTA 6, but it's a lot on the line, and it's gonna be with you built. It's so much hype. You know how that goes.
Absolutely.
You have so much hype, so people are gonna be nitpicky. We in this.
Yeah,
think of it.
Yeah.
We're 10 years into the social media. We're further along in like just online presence and stuff. So everybody's going to want updates. People are going to be doing, what is it, leaks. You're going to get all these weird leaks. You're going to get these lies. People, like, you're going to...
It's going to be insane. And it's so fun. I'm glad you mentioned that. Like, the internet era, the social media era is way different than when Five came out.
10 years ago, right? Right.
You know, exactly. which I'm so curious as to what they're going to, how they're going to kind of turn Six into a parody of whatever Miami's going to be. Because let's be honest here for a second. It's going to be Miami. At this point, it's pretty much confirmed.
Just think about all the stuff that happened in the world. They have so much good source material. And GTA, Rockstar, listen to me.
I mean, it's not going to be stuff that's super current because they've been working on it for a while, but... We're going to get interesting.
They got
stuff.
A lot of good source material. No matter where they get it from, the last 10 years of our life, wherever they decide to pick from,
it's going
to
be interesting.
Come on, man. It's going and bring back Laszlo. We want Laszlo back, bro. Bring back Laszlo radio station, bro. We need some political, like, what was it, satire? Just Laszlo
fingers,
was just.
Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed.
And like the radios are going to be crazy. Like, just think about the music.
Yeah, like
they're going to have like a streamer mode now, probably because of the music.
It's going to be interesting. I'm really curious to see because I know whenever the game releases, you know, it's gonna do numbers. Which leads me to, you know, my next question, right? Because we've talked about, you kind of touched on like expectations for Six. And, you know, I know once again, you know, you're somebody who has continued to play pretty much since Five released, you know, with them purchasing 5M, the, you know, the large modding company and stuff a month or two ago, that was like, what are your real hopes and expectations for the game that would make you happy as somebody, a part of the community?
It's funny. We talked about monetization earlier in this episode and it's going to carry over to this, right? I just don't want them to ruin the game with things being just overly monetized. Get your paper. Don't get me wrong. Get your money. Because at the end of the day, we really don't have to buy it. It's up to us if we buy it or not. I want you guys to succeed. I want you to have your monetizations in there, but just make them fair. Like, just don't be, like, overpricing, just, like, doing crazy stuff, man. But besides that, like, what expectations or like what I want to see in the game? I know it's gonna, I like, come on, bro, this game's gonna break records. It's
100%. People,
you 100%. You see the tweets, you see like people are fiending for this game, but I would like to see a more dynamic seasonal weather thing in the game. And I say that because some of the servers on GTA Roleplay that I play on, like, they have like weather systems put in the game that is crazy. Like, leaves are falling off the tree, right?
Oh, that's actually like, really seasons. Cool.
Like,
wow.
Yeah, there's, it snows, like the leaves fall off the tree. It, like, in the fall time, the trees are very colorful and vibrant. I would love to see that. And if it's in Miami, I would love part of the story. Like, maybe there's dynamic weather. Maybe there's a hurricane. Maybe there's a tropic storm that comes. Like, maybe there's some kind of like flooding. Like,
that would actually be really cool. Now that you mentioned that, that would be tight.
Yeah, I would love to see it. Then maybe, you know, it'd be a disaster. And then it'd be like, you can have like a cutscene or whatever. Once you do a mission, it'd be like, oh, after the hurricane, 5 months later, something like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I want to see something with like the more weather involved. I'm really curious to see like what kind of cars we're going to have, what cars are going to make a comeback, because if you know the history of GTA, they're like the Cheetah and stuff like that. Classic cars that's been in every GTA since like 3 or Liberty City.
Right.
I want to see what they're going to do with the car models as far as like how they're going to look, how they're going to like damage out and stuff like that. Like, stuff like that has me very, very curious. And I think that's about it, man. I, for some reason, I just really think the weather could make this game it could push it to a point of like being like super, super dope. Because I know they're gonna like, I have faith. I really do have faith in Rockstar when it comes to the story. They have some pretty, the way that each one of these Grand Theft Auto stories have been set up, I've been completely fine with that.
It's like,
their
be
stories
a banger,
are
yeah.
dope.
It's gonna be a
if they have a lady protagonist, I'm 6,000% okay with that.
As the rumors say.
Yeah, I don't want to. I just please, just I say, spare me with the woke comments.
We're gonna have it. You're gonna have the.
I hate
you. You're a white knight. You're woke. Blah blah. Don't buy.
Because you know, let's be real. They're gonna like. We are talking about modern day times here, right? There's gonna be like, you know, you're gonna have like a gay character. You're gonna have these things in there because Rockstar, they don't. You know, they don't shy away from any of that stuff, right?
They really don't, no.
So you're going to have the gay character. You may have a trans character. Who knows? Like, they put all that in there, and I'm completely fine. Like,
I hope so, because I want it to upset the people that have problems with it.
Yeah, I do. I want people to blow up.
I hope people
gasket.
Get upset
Who
about
cares?
It. It's going to make me laugh.
Don't play the
childish.
Game. You already bought it. Shut up and just play it. But yeah, you know it's gonna have all those different aspects, and GTA can be have a very underlining political standpoint as well. So I want to see what they're gonna do with that. Like, you know, it's gonna like they draw from what's happening in the world, and it's satire. Like they make fun of it. That's what GTA does. So yeah, man, it's gonna be great. It's gonna be great, and I think we're gonna. I take back what I said. I think we may see this. I think they secretly been working on this game. I think we're going to see it sooner than I thought.
Yeah. That was going to be my next question. So we're both pretty much in agreement that it's going to be at the Game Awards, right? Like, this is most likely going to be like that. And one more thing.
I think the trailer is going to freak people out.
You know, I think I don't think it's going to be longer than like a minute and like 4 seconds. They're gonna give us a very tiny.
I don't think they will announce.
You know what I mean?
Something like this, and it's just a clip of like a Rockstar logo and somebody walking.
No,
to a car.
We're gonna get
I think
a
you're
quick
gonna
little
see some game.
Yeah,
play or some shit like
a story, a minute long story trailer, just showing you
protagonist,
you know, quick
reveal.
Boom, 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 boom. Couple of locations. It's gonna be confirmed to be Miami or what was the name of the city? Gosh,
Vice
City. Thank
Vice
you.
City.
Yeah,
yeah. I get them confused. Liberty City and Vice City. I always get confused. Liberty City is New York, just the Statue of Liberty. That's how I try to think of it.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know what I'm saying?
But yeah, I think
Vice,
it's gonna be
Miami
great, man.
Vice.
Like, so, I'm kind of agreeing with you on that point that I do think we're gonna see it. I don't think we see it next year. I'm gonna say that. I don't think it comes out next year.
Oh no, that's too soon.
I think we'll get it maybe like early. I would love for us to get it the first half of 2025. I would love that.
It's funny that you say that because I was going to say holiday season 2025.
Hear me out. Here's what I'm thinking, right? Here's what I'm mathing in my head here. So we get it. So we'll get it. Let's say we get it in the summer or the spring of 2025.
Mm-hmm.
They relaunch the campaign for online for the holiday.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I was just going to say that. I was going to say that the online mode, you probably won't see that for like 3 months after the initial.
A few months
release.
For sure, right? That's what I was thinking too.
And I think they're going to do that because they really want people to play, experience, and enjoy the single player before everyone jumps off into the online. And also, it's going to give them time to do, you know, beta testing and. Because they want to avoid the situation that they had with
five when
Grand Theft Auto Online. If you guys don't remember, you couldn't play it for about a month when it dropped, and PlayStation definitely had problems.
Yeah, it was awful, man. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so don't attack me. It's
facts. Yeah, no, we were there.
Look it up. Yeah, we were there.
We were there that day when the first day we tried to get on. It was awful.
You did the initial mission. You was doing that race or whatever.
Create your character. You end up in a parking lot somewhere, and then you get disconnected. And you couldn't do anything.
And every day, it was pure hell for me because every day I would log in and try to log in.
Yeah, it took a while too. And like hours.
I was just like, oh, it's still down.
Yep.
And then even when it got up, it wasn't perfect. It still had problems.
No, there was a lot of lag and stuff. There was a lot of
disconnecting. And so I say that to say this, that I strongly believe that it's going to be about 2-3 months out before they do the online version. And hopefully, you know, the servers and everything can handle it and everyone have a good time, you know, because people are just waiting for it. With them purchasing 5M, I'm pretty sure that they're going to come out the gate with people like with the RP scene. Like, yeah, people are waiting to see what new city. And then the RP is going to be rolled out very slow because then people have to create mods around whatever city that they're in. It's going to be fun. Yeah. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun as hell. It's going to be another big moment in gaming history. This thing is going to, it's going to do numbers. It's going to blow them out of the water, whatever. But my question to you is, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What do you think Rockstar's next project going to be after GTA 6?
Oh my God, bro. I was literally just thinking about that. I could tell you what I hope it would be versus mm-hmm. what I think it's going to be. I hope it will be Bully 2, but I don't think it will be because...
A modern-day Bully would be amazing with these graphics yeah. and just...
I would love to see, like, a Bully 2, but it would... And I was thinking about a way to get around just, like, them avoiding a lot of the social strife that might come along with a game like that because... You know, of course, bullying isn't cool. We don't condone that. But maybe they have it to where the kid bullies bullies. You know, something like he was picked on. Or you can set up
the internet, too. You can put the internet aspect into it now.
Right. Cyberbullying. Yeah. I would love to see that. Like, you go to your classes and stuff. Because I never finished Bully. I played a good bit of it when I was younger. But I never got to finish the game. And it always was... I think it's one of my favorite franchises that they've done, right? But what do I think they're going to do next? I think they're going to do another Red Dead. I think it's going to either be about John's son, him trying to get revenge for his son, for his dad dying. Spoilers, if you haven't played Red Dead 1, it's been like 15 years. you should play it. But I think they're going to end up doing another Red Dead, honestly. What about you? What do you think?
I would love to see a brand new IP. That would always be
fun. That's always fun. I would actually like that. Oh, what do you think they do though? Like, what kind of genre?
Grand Theft Auto has mastered like with franchises like Manhunt, Bully,
yeah,
Grand Theft Auto, Red Dead. They kind of got that and styling of open world games to where they mastered that. So I would love to see them step out of the box and
because all their games are grounded in reality. No, because you think about it.
I forgot that Red Dead also made what's the racing game?
What racing?
What's the racing game? My joint, Dub Edition.
Midnight Club.
Midnight Club. Rockstar made that. So,
oh, that's true.
That would be crazy to see like a new Dub Edition.
Rockstar IPs. We're gonna do this live. This is why you guys need to listen to the podcast live so you can be here for these conversations. So they did make Midnight Club. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Midnight Club, Red Dead, some game series called Agent Monster Truck Madness. They were making a stealth action game that never came out. Wow.
Rockstar, man, I think because once again, man, when you make these huge games like GTA 6 and stuff,
yeah,
that takes a lot of resources. So they probably can't really work on nothing else. You know what I'm saying?
I think they're going to continue to do like the one big project at a time.
And that makes it quality.
Yeah.
So I'm not mad at that. That their games come out in there.
Let me ask you this. Would you prefer them, if it was a new IP, would you prefer it be something that's still kind of grounded in reality, kind of like what they do? You know, they do that now. You know, you're in a city in Grand Theft Auto. You're a cowboy in Red Dead. You're a kid at school. Or would you rather them see them do something like fantasy related, sci-fi, something a little bit less grounded?
I would love to see Rockstar get into their fantasy bag, their sci-fi bag. I would love to see them take a stab at something sci-fi. I think they got the chops to pull it off.
Yeah.
I really do. I really think they could conjure up something really, really amazing. The way that they construct their cities and stuff in the Grand Theft Auto series.
Yeah.
I believe that would translate very good. Those skills would translate very well with making something sci-fi. Like, I would say as far as to make something like spacey, like a Starfield,
ooh,
but maybe limited down just
one planet,
like three planets, yeah, like maybe like three planets. You know what I'm saying? I would love to see something on a smaller scale like that, but just very
super you may dense have, and detailed. Yeah.
Yeah. I think Rockstar would do a amazing job at that. Like,
that would be super cool. Maybe, you know, maybe they're listening and they're going to hit us up and be like, hey, can you guys write us a dope sci-fi story? Done. And this is how this is how Super Weapon was acquired by Rockstar.
Well, they bought us.
They bought us out.
I'm quick to sell.
Yep, out of here.
I just want my house on the hill so I can disappear. Right. I'm selling.
But yeah, man, it's definitely going to be interesting to see. I think the video game awards this year, I think it's going to be really interesting. I think we're going to see some unexpected things. We know. I think Grand Theft Auto is going to be there. People are like, "No, man, why wouldn't they just say the Video Game Awards?" Because that's not how announcements work. They only said something because it was leaked.
But I'll tell you this though: one thing I'm not looking forward to, I'm not looking forward to the very long, extensive rollout. Like, I don't want to be exhausted. I don't want to be tired by the time the game comes out.
I feel that. Because you're going to get like a trailer in December. I think we don't see the game again until around like that E3 season. And we get like gameplay trailer. 3-minute gameplay trailer, 2-minute gameplay trailer or something. Then we don't see it again until when it's closer for it to come out. Because I don't think it's coming out until 2025. You know, we both agree on that. So we got a range. You know, you think kind of later in the year versus me like earlier. So I guess, I think we'll get like a good little... You know, because they don't really do like deep dives or anything. I wish they did, but Rockstar doesn't really give a lot of information on their projects.
They don't give up
know?
The sauce, man.
And I like it, but I wish they did at the same time. So,
and I got another request.
Oh yeah,
this may sound bad, but Rockstar, these facial models. I don't know if y'all make y'all characters like that. I don't know if they do this to be like funny, but yeah, we got enough technology to fix people's face. I want better faces. That's all I'll say.
We'll see.
On
I mean,
the male and the female characters. I just want better faces. Like, I'm not saying that everyone, because I'm not one of those guys where every woman gotta look attractive or I'm gonna cry. But it's just like everybody. I say this all the time. Everybody in GTA 5, they look like addicts, bro. I'm just gonna say that. They look like they smoking something.
Hey man,
bro.
It took us a while to get to the point where they let their fingers move. So maybe this will be the year. This will be the series.
Oh yeah, remember they had them Ninja Turtle.
Yeah,
little,
their hands were cupped for mittens. Like, I think up until 4, their hands were like that. If I remember.
Yeah, they had the little mittens, bro. It was just a thumb and just. Yeah, but I want to see better facial models. Like, no, because people, they apply mods on GTA roleplay. Like, they apply, you'll see mods applied to the characters, and they look too beautiful, okay?
Yeah.
You ain't got to do all that. And then I want a just different variety of people to have, like, you know, skinny people, big people. You know what I'm saying?
I feel what you're saying.
Like, y'all got enough power now to like give us more variety of people, but never change.
Rockstar really don't have fat people in their games, man. They are kind of like prejudiced.
Yeah, you gotta get some
the larger people.
No,
man.
They did like in just Vice. Kidding, no, just kidding. I want to say Vice City. They had maybe a few.
Yeah, you know, even in Red Dead, you know, like there wasn't a lot of like,
hey man, give
chubby
us some big guys,
cowboys
man.
Or nothing. Yeah.
Yeah, give us a different variety. Yeah. You can give us some cut up, muscly dudes. It's just think variety. But one thing, don't never change them random conversations that NPCs be having.
Oh, those are gold.
Oh my God. I'm still finding out stuff that they say today. And
those are gold. Those are comedic.
There was
gold.
One on San Andreas. I can't even repeat on the podcast. I lost my mind. Like, I was. You know how you might step away from the game, grab some chips or something.
Right.
And I didn't pause it. So I was just sitting on the street. This guy walked past, man. I'm not repeating that. Just know it was wild. I was like, what did you just say? But hey, it's in for a reason,
I
just, right?
I don't know, rated, man. And of course, my wife in chat, she says, Red Dead was back in the day. They couldn't get obese eating horse meat. We're cutting it out of the podcast.
You know what?
We're looking for lean, muscly meat. Is that what you're saying there? That's crazy. That's crazy work right there.
We're currently looking for a new moderator and producer, all right?
Oh, my gosh,
Somebody needs to take a break, all right?
Obviously, someone needs a break.
Do we not pay you enough?
I'm telling you.
Why are you acting like this?
Upper benefits or something. That's so fucking hilarious, man. That's funny.
Back in the day, you got to think, maybe they were. Well, how did they eat back in the day? I know they weren't brushing their teeth, though.
Nah, they was too busy dying of, you know, TB.
Yeah, they were. Oh, yeah, because they got sick easily. Yeah, that's what people don't talk about a lot, though.
For a lot of diseases we have today, yeah.
Man, they was just dying from common colds back then. Like, right. Bruh. Yeah.
Oh, man. All right, man. We're about an hour in. We could save the Mass Effect conversation for next week, just in case there isn't anything up on the docket. Because I got some interesting theories and things I would definitely wanted to talk to you about as a fellow Mass Effect fan. But I'm excited for the Game Awards. We're definitely going to tune in for it. It's December the 7th, if I remember correctly. Me and DC are kind of flirting with the idea of doing like a live show into, you know, maybe a podcast after. We just kind of see, you know, how scheduling and everything goes. But thank you guys for hanging out for episode 169, man, of the Super Weapon Podcast. Episode 2 of us being back, baby. Feeling good.
We back up, baby.
We back.
Be on these corners slinging that pod.
As Idris said, man, get the word out.
Yeah,
we back up.
Liberty. What am I thinking about Cyberpunk? Oh, because he in it.
He's
what?
In Cyberpunk. And Phantom Liberty. Like, yeah.
Yeah. I was like, why am I thinking of that?
Yeah, man.
Oh, okay. But
yeah, man, make sure you guys check out the Super Weapon YouTube, TikTok, and everything. We're going to get back on our scheduled updates as well for that stuff. So just keep a lookout for it, man. We appreciate it. Thank you guys for hanging out, man. You can find me everywhere. Darius the Artist, where it is at 3. And just like DC said, before I get up out of here, man, I do want to just once again give another shout out to Built, man. If you are listening to this, man, just wanted to say, you know, we understand that you have to take time away, man. You got friends here in this industry who care about your well-being. So we hope that you're doing good, man. And, you know, if you ever want to talk, whenever you want to come back on the show, you're more than welcome to be here, man. And shout out to all the veterans as well. You know, I have some in my family, so appreciate you guys. DC is a veteran as well, so make sure you guys thank him on Twitter and all his socials. And
send me cake.
Send him cake, and he'll be good to go. But I'm going to get up out of here, man. I'm going to let DC have the floor. It's all you, baby.
All right, baby. I think you covered everything I said, but I want to say one more thing. Darius is a pool shark.
I'm not. I suck at pool. Oh, my God.
So let me tell a quick story real quick. We was over at my brother's house having a man's night. That's what I'm calling it. That sounds hilarious.
Man,
but anyway, man. Darius was like, oh, I never played pool before.
I haven't played since I was like a kid, man.
No, we just had fun. I enjoyed it, man. My brother definitely enjoyed it as an empty nester. I think he gets lonely because he's like
Shout out to Ray, man. That's
yeah,
the homie.
Man, oh God, I'm so mad at that.
He was just happy for us to be there. I'm happy that he was happy we were there, man. He was a great host. Let me say that. He was a great host.
Nah, my brother, he's a little jolly. We share the same blood. I'm just a little, yeah. I'm like the evil, you know.
I'm going to tell you before we get apart. You know, I'll tell you afterwards. Thank you guys for hanging out, man. It's going to be the end of the audio version.
We'll catch you guys next time.
Right? See you guys later. Peace.
Oh, it hung. I like it.